Here at 343, we believe in quality. We also believe in action. Over the course of a decade, we've battle-tested our methods. We've made mistakes, sure, but more importantly, we've figured out exactly what works and what has brought us to the pinnacle of American and global youth soccer time and time again. We know you have the desire to reach your goals as well. Let us share our tools with you and help you build the players, teams, and clubs that you want. This summer, we're offering a rare opportunity to be in the same room as some of the most progressive coaches in our country that have achieved it all, from state and national titles to coaching internationally. Now, personally, I've never been part of another coaching education experience quite like this. Live, in-person classroom sessions with the leaders of youth development here in America. Sign up or just find more information about the summit at 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm. You don't want to miss this opportunity to elevate your game and take your coaching to the next level. Well, I hope you like that new intro for the 343 podcast. It is a little bit different than anything we've had in the past. And yeah, well, welcome to the show. I am John Pronich and I am your host. And right now I am sitting here staring at pages and pages of notes. And I was going to try to make this the final episode of my series that is recapping my recent trip to Barcelona. And I am scratching my head wondering how I can fit all of this into one episode. And I've come to the conclusion that I can't. I can't fit everything from my trip to Barcelona into three short episodes. So, in the future, there will be more episodes recapping some parts of my trip to Barcelona. For today's episode, I'm actually going to revisit my very first podcast, and you'll get the gist of that when we get to it. I'm going to tell a short story of how I met Mark, a very important figure in the FCB Escola camps that happened here in the United States. And we're also going to visit with Cameron. Cameron is the person that I went to Barcelona with and that I've been talking about throughout these episodes, but we're going to hear a little bit from him and his thoughts on our trip. So stay tuned. Hope you enjoy it. Have fun. Thank you. Now, there's one funny thing about Narcisse that I haven't told you guys yet. When I met Narcisse in Barcelona, I realized that I recognized him and that I had met him before. And I had met him in Los Angeles. And oddly enough, that was right around the time that I was thinking about starting a podcast and decided to pull the trigger on it. And Narcisse and his coaching partner, Christian, were actually the very first people that I interviewed when I decided to start a podcast. I had my iPhone in my pocket, I pulled my phone out, and I asked them a couple questions, and I recorded it. Here's what I got. Okay, so just from watching the warm-up in your morning session, receiving across your body and having the proper angle, it was like a big theme. Can you talk about why that's so important? Why is it so important for the kids to start learning to receive it on your far foot, okay, and to have the proper body angle?
To give the support with the proper body angle.
This is Christian talking right now.
It's so important because it allows you to see always the ball possessor and the space where you want to go. So if you want to progress, you should be giving one body angle in order to see the ball, the most space as you can, and also the goal. If you want to bring the ball from one side to the other side, you should angle your body to see, in order to see the ball, the opposite side of the field, and also the goal. So it allows you to open the game in vertical when you want to progress, and in horizontal when you want to switch the game. So and it also allows you to search and search for lots of information. These are the main reasons because the body angle is essential to start playing soccer.
Okay. And then, so the setup for the camp is obviously to do a field session and to have a classroom session. How often do you hold a classroom session with your guys' own? You guys are coaching teams, obviously, in Spain. How often do you hold a classroom session with your own team?
Okay, this is Narcisse.
It's not, we don't usually do the theoretical lessons with our teams. It's just video sessions where we correct some aspects from the game, or we analyze some rivals that will come in the future. But it's the theoretical lesson we mostly apply them during the field. So the theoretical, it's more, we try to introduce. It's like here, what they are living, it's something extra, because we want to explain them further than we do it in Spain. Mm-hmm. Because our players probably know some aspects already, knows because they've been working during a lot of years with coaches in Spain. So now here, what we are doing is to trying to introduce some aspects, but we are enhancing the way we are transmitting or communicating it by theoretical also. So it's an extra thing that they have in this camp.
So I'd already met Narcisse in LA. This, to me, boosted his credibility immediately because I'd seen him work. I watched him work at a soccer camp in downtown Los Angeles. And because I had seen him work, I knew that he was legit right away. So from that moment on, he had my full attention. I was 100% fully engaged in everything that he was presenting, and I knew that it was going to be quality information. Now, in the last two episodes, I've talked about waves, and I've talked about clouds. This time, I'd like to highlight something that Narcisse brought up in this last presentation that he had for us. It was the question of kind of like, which is better for player development? Touch limitation or touch obligation? Meaning, which is better when, say, you're playing a possession exercise? Do you want to limit players to two touches, or do you want to obligate that the players take two touches? Seem kind of like a silly question, but when you're asking which one is better for player development, that goes back to your idea of player development. It goes back to your cloud and whether or not that fits your vision for your team and for your players. Now, here are a couple of the differences according to Narcisse. When you limit touches, like saying no more than two, no more than three, you limit the time for both teams to adjust to their collective movement. So meaning basically boils down to the defense has to work super hard because the ball is always going to be moving and the offense must always be moving to support. And those interactions with the ball are of very very small amounts of time. They're for very small amounts of time. Now, when you're obligating the number of touches, according to Narcisse, and from what it looks like, the Spanish Federation, you're taking away the realism of the game. So basically what Narcisse is saying is that he doesn't obligate, or he doesn't like to obligate that his players take two touches because it's not realistic. He doesn't like to obligate that the players take one touch because it's not realistic. So that is going back to his cloud. That is going back to the way that he sees or he envisions his team playing. And I'm not saying that you need to either agree or disagree with Narcisse's feelings about limiting touches or obligating touches. I'm coming at this from the angle of when you're choosing your training exercises, are you consulting your cloud? Or are you just throwing in a two-touch keep-away exercise? or a one-touch exercise, or no more than three-touch exercise? Does the training that you're doing align with your overall vision? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here, but it just makes me think harder about developing my cloud and developing my arsenal of exercises and thinking about the overall big picture of things. And I guess that's really what I'm aiming to get out of you as well, is making you evaluate your own cloud. After finishing our final classroom session with Narcisse, him, Cameron, and I went to go get coffee. We talked some very official business, and then he dropped Cameron and I off at a prearranged meeting. So this meeting was arranged by a friend of 343's. This friend is named Terry. We know Terry through his son Calvin, who has been a 343 camper in the past. Anyways, so Terry set us up with a meeting with Mark, and little did I know that I was about to sit down at a restaurant with Mark, who is one of the guys responsible for organizing about 10 of the FCB Escola camps that take place in the United States. And little did I know that Mark's father was the head of the former Players Union in Barcelona. And little did I know that Mark's grandfather was a former FC Barcelona player with the nickname of El Gran Capitan. But anyways, Mark ended up being this super down-to-earth guy. He walked us through the total picture of FCB Escola camps for here in the United States, the possibility of opening some FCB Escola schools or campuses here in the United States, and everything that he's having to go through, and all the red tape of working with cities and counties and U.S. soccer and working with actual FC Barcelona. And he was an open book. Now, why does Mark have an interest in doing all this in the United States? Well, Mark attended college here. He loves soccer. He loves the United States. And he has a passion for bringing the FC Barcelona way to the United States. I'd love to tell you more about my meeting with Mark, but some of it right now is kind of top secret. So I'll probably be able to, or I'm sure I'll be able to, divulge more about it in the future. But that was kind of my moment of the 6 degrees of Barcelona, or 6 degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, however you know what that moment's about. But it was just so interesting to me to think that you never know who has those type of connections that lead you back to Barcelona or Bayern Munich or Manchester United. It's just the soccer world is so small, and it was kind of it was really interesting to sit and talk with Mark and see how down to earth he was, and also how forthcoming with information he was as well. But it was a great experience to meet Mark, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again and talking more about some other stuff with him in the future. Meeting with Mark was the last thing that I actually did in Barcelona. The next day I woke up, packed my bag, got on a plane, flew back to San Francisco, and then I drove halfway down the state to my home. And needless to say, as soon as I got on the plane, I was ready to jump back off of it, but I'm already dying to go back. My trip to Barcelona was an amazing experience, and it's something that I feel like everybody has to do at least once in their life. It's something that I plan to do more than just one more time, and it really, it's impossible to describe You have to see it for yourself. You have to see it for yourself. I cannot stress that enough. You have to see it. You have to experience. You have to be there. You have to breathe the air. You have to see the soccer on the field. You have to see Messi in person. You have to do all these things once in your life. Now, after getting back home and going through these notes and putting together a few podcasts, I realized it was probably smart for me to check in with Cameron and see how he felt and how he felt the trip was. And I asked Cameron, hey, are you ever going to go back to Barcelona?
Yes, I will definitely go back to Barcelona. I think I've drawn so much value from my first two trips that, you know, just recently I was saying that I think I'm going to go every year. You know, I think I'll make a trip during my winter off season every year to try to learn something new and push myself farther and go deeper into my craft and what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Well, Cam, I hope you continue to make your yearly pilgrimage to Barcelona, and I want to thank you for being part of my first trip to Barcelona and being part of these three podcast episodes so far that I've been recapping our trip to the Mecca of soccer, in my opinion. And with that, we are going to conclude the third episode of the recap from my trip to Barcelona. I believe that we will revisit more from this trip to Barcelona in the future. But starting next week, we will be returning to the long interview style format of the episodes that most of you are probably accustomed to. Again, thank you to all of you that continue to listen to this podcast. And if you ever want to revisit old podcasts, you can find all of those at 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm. On the website, you can also find some more audio, some ebooks, articles, and a bunch of other fun stuff. You can sign up for our free course, or you can sign up for our paid membership. You can also find information about our player camps and our live in-person conferences as well. That's it for this week. We will catch you guys next time here on the 343 podcast. Adios. Here at 343, we believe in quality. We also believe in action. Over the course of a decade, we've battle-tested our methods. We've made mistakes, sure, but more importantly, we've figured out exactly what works and what has brought us to the pinnacle of American and global youth soccer time and time again. We know you have the desire to reach your goals as well. Let us share our tools with you and help you build the players, teams, and clubs that you want. This summer, we're offering a rare opportunity to be in the same room as some of the most progressive coaches in our country that have achieved it all, from state and national titles to coaching internationally. Now, personally, I've never been part of another coaching education experience quite like this. Live, in-person classroom sessions with the leaders of youth development here in America. Sign up or just find more information about the summit at 343coaching.fm. That's the number 3, the number 4, the number 3, coaching.fm. You don't want to miss this opportunity to elevate your game and take your coaching to the next level.